Yeah! Oh, I forgot to tell you, Al. Thank you again for the cake that you brought in yesterday, because I did not get any birthday cake at the house or birthday pies or anything. We went out and there was nothing here, so it was my only slice of birthday cake yesterday. Very sincere thank you.
Yeah, it's what friends do, bro. It's what friends do. go out of their way. They bring in some cake. You said it was a good slice of cake, good pizza cake.
It was delicious.
And you know, I hope you enjoyed it. And you'll have an opportunity to do something similar in about a year from now. But we'll won't expect it. I'll tell you that much. We'll just see what happens.
DeMarco and I are going to finish that thing off tomorrow because there's not a ton of people in the office. It's still in the fridge.
Wait, there's nobody in the office.
It's the fridge.
I know. Yeah, Taylor, stay away from my cake. It has my name on it. You can have a slice, but make sure that there's enough for.
Happy belated, by the way.
Thank you, Taylor. Appreciate that very much. All right, Travis Lee's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Let me start with a couple of tweets here. This is from Drew in L.A., and while it's not an Ask Slee day, I feel like since you're not going to be here tomorrow, we can kind of slide this one in here. Drew writes, I believe Alan Slee will say, mind if I join you, as he slides into the hotel jacuzzi. Is that your deal? Like, hey, and you kind of crack your knuckles, mind if I join you guys? As you get in the warm water?
100%. I'll sit in between them. If it's a couple in there, I'll sit right in between the two of them and just make myself.
You guys mind if I get that jet? You guys mind if I get that bubble? My back's really bothering me. I just need to loosen up. Can I get in there? Can you slide a little bit to your left?
How about I go in, I turn the jets off?
I hate
turn
bubbles.
The jets. Can't do the bubbles. It gets too hot in here.
Big E writes.
Where are you guys from?
Yeah, how long are you in town for? If anyone shows up with a dish containing marshmallows, any dish, show them the door. Yeah, marshmallows are not – they're putting it this way. If you're having like some sort of sundae or something or some sort of dessert item and it's got a marshmallow thing.
That's just s'mores when you're camping. That's
right.
That's fine.
But if there's anything that you're serving as like real food and it has marshmallows as part of the ingredients, you need to not. Just decide to go in a different direction. And then one more from our pal John of Fullerton. My first job in high school, got fired for not being, quote, enthusiastic enough about yo-yos, was offered my final check or a free yo-yo as final payment. Best firing ever. Yeah, that's asking a lot to ask a high school kid to be yo-yo enthusiast. That seems like something that most high school kids are not going to be super fired up about.
Sounds like a great lesson. Hope you learned it, bro. You got to come in more fired up, okay? What else do you want me to tell you?
Gonzaga, number one team in the country, playing against UCLA, number two team in the country in college basketball. It'll be fun. UCLA already has a win against Villanova this year, so their Final Four team last year, great. It's college basketball. Let me know when the tournament starts.
Okay, by the way, you're right about all of that, but this is kind of cool. Number one versus number two.
Yeah.
You know, you only get a few of these where the games have some meaning to them. And I know what you're saying in the big scheme of things. There isn't that much meaning in the regular season. It's not like college football where you're Oregon and you just lose against Utah. Now you're out. You know, that's not what happens in college basketball. But this is a cool matchup for UCLA, for Los Angeles. And to be honest with you, it just kind of shows it probably plays more into your point that you just mentioned. I don't think a lot of people know, unless you're a big UCLA fan, that this game's even going on, and that's part to do with it's November and you're so far away from the March Madness tournament.
Well, you said there's not much meaning in this game. I agree with everything you said, but that part, there's no meaning in this game because they're both going to go to the tournament. They're both going to be probably pretty high seeds in the tournament. And regardless of what happens tonight, if UCLA wins, good for them. Feels pretty good. Same thing for Gonzaga. If you lose, you probably feel pretty bad. You got another one coming up. Conference matters a little bit more, but these games are more interesting for just, you know, hey, one versus two than any.
For the fan base, too.
I guess you get a little bragging rights along the way. But here's the thing. When was the last time that we talked about that UCLA basketball in a meaningful way? Like, hey, they're really good. Let me know when they're back in the Final Four. It's been a long time, right? So that goes to show you how quickly it can turn. Because with Ben Howland as the head coach, I'm not going to go all the way back to John Wooden. That's just ancient history. But let's go back to when Ben Howland was the head coach at UCLA. They're going to the Final Four.
Kept going to the Final Four.
Pretty regularly, right? And Ben Howland, while maybe stylistically was not super popular with UCLA fans, they kind of grind it out, muck it up, play slow. They went to the Final Four every year. They were UCLA basketball. You walked out onto that court and it said UCLA on your jersey. you knew what you were about to get. You were about to get a really good team. And then they fired him, and they weren't. They just were kind of spinning their wheels, and Alford was there, and they were okay, and they weren't very okay, and they fired him. But they bring in Mick Cronin,
yep.
who boop, fixes it like that. They go to the Final Four. They're one of the best teams in the country this year. There's a very good chance that they could be back in the Final Four again this year. If I'm USC, I'm seeing that makes me feel pretty good because that's the same way you fix your football program. You got to find the right guy that knows how to take what you have, which is history, which is resources, which is commitment to being good in that particular sport, a fan base that wants you to be good in that particular sport. And once you get that thing heading the right direction, it can get fixed really fast. This isn't trying to fix the Arizona football team has no history, no tradition, no players, no real want to be good at a sport like that. This is USC football and everything that comes along with it. You get the right person in that job the way that UCLA did with Mick Cronin, it can fix itself pretty quickly.
I think that's what's probably frustrating for a lot of these alumni or students at USC or people just here in Los Angeles who grew up with USC really becoming the professional team, the professional football team for them in LA. I think that's the frustration, Trav, is you don't have to walk up that same hill that many other universities have to walk up. You don't have to go through this. You have this unbelievable history and tradition that if that momentum just starts shifting a little bit, you can change everything. But that is the frustration, is I think everybody's known that Clay Helton was not the right coach for that university, for that football team, yet he was there for, you know, how many more years than he probably should have. It's up to you to determine how many of number of years that was. But you are there. There's a good point to that, is things can turn around quick, which is why we can kind of keep going back to this. This is kind of our once a week, weekly update on USC. That's why this is such a big moment for the university, because you're either going to hire the right person, you're going to give that person the proper resources, you're going to give that person the money to go out there and get the proper assistant coaches, and all of a sudden there's a real conversation about a powerhouse on the West Coast again, or we're going to be sitting here 3-4 years down the road and still kind of having the same conversation. But the UCLA example is a good example. And Bergman said that he's legitimately basing his night around this game tonight. I don't blame him. He's a big UCLA fan.
Well, I'd be doing
the same thing if San Diego State was in it.
Yeah, no. I get it if you're a UCLA fan or a Gonzaga fan. But college, like, you don't have to be an Ohio State or Michigan fan to want to watch Ohio State play Michigan this weekend in football. That's a big game because there's all sorts of implications that come along with it. When you watch Alabama play Auburn, I don't really have a dog in the fight. I don't really care who wins, but I want to watch it because there's ramifications that come along with it. But I want to go back to something you're talking about with SC. This is why when you hire your athletic director, it's so important. There are really only two jobs that an athletic director has, right? And number one is you got to raise money. You got to raise money for the athletic program. You got to be really good at fundraising, right? Or what is it, endowment or whatever the terminology is right now. That's number one. But number two is you need to be able to identify who the next coach of all of your athletic programs are going to be. You need to know who it is even before that person is gone, because what if they leave? What if they get sick? There's a million different things. And Mike Bone at SC came to the program and let Clay Helton stay for another year, which I thought was a huge mistake. Now, maybe you could make the argument, I just got here, I need to evaluate everything, I need
probably
to see
pressure
how it goes
from the university as well.
Say that again?
Probably pressure from the university as well.
To keep Clay Helton?
Yeah, I think remember how we're trying to stick to the university is going through a lot of different things. I think the kind of play it safe, clean cut, you know, that whole thing. We know this guy isn't going to rock any boat. Now, the boat that he's going to rock is not going to win you any football games.
Yeah.
And you're going to be
that
a university.
That boat's in dry dock. It's got a hole in the side. It's the SS Minnow from Gilligan's Island because it can't float anymore. And then they just sent it out to sea and sank against UCLA.
But this is his hire. Now this will be his opportunity.
Well, and it's gotten worse. Since Clay Helton left, it's arguably gotten worse. And that means that the guy that's running it now is not going to be a candidate for this. You can't lose to UCLA like that and even remotely consider bringing that guy
back.
So
they gave up 63 points.
To UCLA, who's meh, right? UCLA is just meh. But if you get this right, fixes itself pretty quickly. And now, hey, I'm the guy that fixed this thing. If you get it wrong, you know, the guy's going to get at least 2 or 3 years, whoever the coach is. It just continues to rot. It continues to get more difficult. But seeing Mick Cronin on the other side, that feels pretty good.
I think it's a good comp. And number one, like Travis said, number one, number two, Gonzaga, UCLA tonight. Okay. Today's stat hero of the day, it's LeBron James. Unfortunately, he will not be at the Madison Square Garden. And, Trav, this is what the Lakers are missing without LBJ at MSG. For his career, he's averaged 28 points a game at Madison Square Garden, the third most all-time behind just Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. You and I talked a little bit about this. Venues like this, somebody has something to play for. It's different. It's the mecca of basketball, as they call it. Stat Hero is the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 100% deposit match. I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
And we could do this coming back. Is MSG – I'm trying to think here because I've always thought that the Madison Square Garden, what an unbelievable place it is, what an unbelievable venue it is, I almost feel like it's overhyped. And I'll explain it when we come back why I think it's overhyped, because I think there's – I genuinely feel like there's something to that. This should not just be a venue when it comes to basketball that's just specifically based on how other people do. I think the squad that plays in there 41 games a year should have something to do with that as well.
All right, plus we got our NFL pick'ems, and Taylor is going to try to represent the crew. Somebody's got to take a shot at Sliwa. Bergman couldn't do it. Emily couldn't do it. I obviously can't do it. I've been in it every week. I can't beat him at all, so Taylor is up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we've talked a lot today about the Rams and how this is kind of a fork in the road game for them. If they win, it's in a pretty good spot for them. They're right near the top of the NFC standings again. They play Arizona again. They have a chance to make that right, et cetera, et cetera. Goes the other way, it's pretty obvious how that's going to go. Our NFL picks against the spread, we're kind of in a similar situation right now because Al has created such a big lead in this thing that if we're going to catch him if we're going to catch him, we're going to have to start right now because there's just not enough runway left to do it. So Greg had a zero. Emily got five, which is pretty good. The problem is Al had
a good amount of points
and kind of extended the lead. So we're going to mix it up again. Taylor is going to be our guy. Here we go. Game number one. We're going to start with the Thanksgiving game, Al, your favorite games of the season.
Oh, yeah, love
it. You are up first. The Dallas Cowboys in their traditional game number two of the Thanksgiving holiday. They are hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. The Dallas Cowboys are 7-point favorites, Al. Who you got?
Don't like what I'm doing here, but I'm going to do it anyways. Cowboys coming off a loss. Raiders have looked awful for, what is that, about a month now or something, at least 3 weeks now they've looked bad.
Yep.
I'm going to take the Cowboys. I'm going to put it at my four.
Yeah.
Put this at my four. Even though 7 points there is laying down a lot, I'm gonna roll the dice on this one.
I think that's a pretty good pick. Taylor, you are up next. It's the Cowboys hosting the Raiders, laying 7 points. Who you got and where are you putting it?
I'm going to put the Raiders at my three.
Ooh, bold. Raiders at three.
Already like what he's doing there. Already like what he's doing there. He's going opposite. I like that.
It's
like
game
that.
Theory. This is what it is. I want to game theory you here a little bit, Slee, by picking against you for opposite points and all of that kind of stuff. Problem is the Raiders suck. It's very hard to when you pick the right team to game theory this thing along the way. So I'm going to take the Cowboys as well, but I'm going to try to play a little bit of a point action here. I'm going to put the Cowboys down at the bottom at number one. All right, let's move to the second game here. By the way, Taylor, we need to make up nearly a 30-point gap with Al. Al's got 63 points. The guests have a 38-point total. Travis is in last with 34. So that's
why
how this
here.
Is going. Next game, Green Bay and the Rams. Green Bay hosting the Rams. Green Bay, a very, very narrow 1-point favorite. Basically a pick 'em. Who you got, Taylor?
Let me do Packers at my two.
Okay, so Green Bay at two for Taylor. I'm going to take the Rams. I'm kind of going all in on this one, Al. The Rams feel like they know that they need to win this game, that this is an incredibly important game for them for all the reasons that we've discussed all day long. Sean McVay can't lose three in a row. Matt Stafford can't look that bad 3 weeks in a row. The Green Bay offensive line is a total makeshift line. They're missing a whole bunch of guys on that. Everything points Rams. They only need to they just need to win the game by a point or whatever it is. Give me the LA Rams and put it at four. Who you got, Slee?
Wow, you're going all in on the Rams on this
all
one,
in.
Huh?
All in.
I'm going to take a little bit of a chance. I think I'm changing my tune here right out the gate. I'm going to go Rams 1. Not as much confidence as you have in the Rams in this one, but I know how desperate they are, and for many of the reasons that you just mentioned, I'll go Rams 1 on this one.
So Taylor's got a chance to really create some space here because he's gone opposite on both of the first two games. You and I have the same teams flip-flopped at 4-1. Game number 3, the Chargers are on the road. They're coming off a win against the Steelers.
Should have went
They're
Packers.
In the
damn
Mile
it.
High City, Denver Chargers, 2.5-point favorites. Taylor, who you got?
In Denver? All right, I'm going to do Broncos 1.
Okay, Denver at 1 for Taylor. Alan Sliwa.
Hate to say this, Chargers 3.
You hate picking the Chargers. You absolutely hate
it's a tough one.
Picking the Chargers.
Very tough. Right. I feel it in my throat right here. It's just sitting there.
I'm taking the home dog. The Chargers, I've missed them every single way. I pick them, they lose. I pick against them, they win. So this is probably good news if you're a Charger fan. I'm going to take the Broncos, and I'm going to take them at 2, which brings us to our final game, Tennessee and New England. All of a sudden, these are the two teams near the top of the AFC standing, Tennessee and New England. Who had that at the beginning of the year? Patriots at home, they're 5.5-point favorites. Slee, who you got?
I think a lot of momentum going towards the Patriots. I think a lot of conversation going towards the Patriots. What, they won 4 or 5 in a row, something like that. Yep. Usually when that happens, I'm going to go the other way. I'll go Titans 2.
Titans at 2 for Al. I will take the New England Patriots, and I only have my 3 left, so I'll take New England at 3. Taylor, who do you got? You've got Tennessee and New England, and you've only got your 4-pointer left.
My 4?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going with the Pats.
All right, so Pats.
And you're going down, Slee.
And we, well, so look, I
wish you,
you
the best of luck this weekend, Taylor. I respect your work, and we'll just see what happens.
I told you at the beginning of this, I said, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get off to a pretty good start. I'm going to win like 3 or 4 in the first 4 or 5 weeks. This is how it goes. And then I won't have a single good week after that. How close to accurate was I?
So far, it's been almost remarkably, almost as if you planned it this way. Very, 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 very close to exactly how you set it up.
But that's the thing. You couldn't plan it this way because if I was picking them wrong on purpose, that means I know how to win these games. They're with the spreads, it's kind of a toss them up in the air. You have gone 10, 10, 9, 8, 0. You've had a whole bunch along the way. I need a couple of really bad 0 weeks out of Alan Sliwa. That's what I need. I need you
might get one. Listen, every week when I'm done doing the picks, I'm literally like, okay, that was a bad pick. And then I hear you guys talk to, and you kind of start talking me. I don't know why you do this, too. You start talking me away from what I picked. I'm like, this guy hasn't won. He's won a week in a while.
What do I know?
But no, I'm sold on what you're saying. Like right now you just did the Raiders and the Cowboys. Yeah. Raiders will probably win that game. Not win the game, but they'll probably lose by 6.
Yeah, that's what makes it, right? It's just winners, it gets a lot easier. But the Raiders may get that crummy late touchdown where you're down 13, they punch a touchdown in, and now it's 6, and now they cover. That's the backdoor cover is always in the mix. Travis Slee's brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. But I'll tell you what, the reason I have the Rams at the top, it's really simple. I kind of have to win.
Yeah,
I don't want to say their season is hanging on this, but there is a real fork in the road for the Rams in this. If they win, all of a sudden you're 8-3. You've beaten Green Bay. You've beaten Tennessee. You've beaten Tampa Bay.
And Packers desperate too.
But they're not really as desperate because they're on top of their division. Mm-hmm. They have a pretty comfortable lead in their division. They can kind of go anywhere and play. People don't want to go to Green Bay, right? If Green Bay's in Green Bay, fine. If Green Bay's got to go to Minnesota or L.A. Yep. or Arizona, they don't care. They can go play anywhere. They kind of have a little bit of cushion. Arizona is fine on the road, or at least they have been so far this season. The Rams are the one team that have a lot of skin in this game coming up this weekend. If they lose three in a row, Matthew Stafford throws another bunch of bad interceptions. What are we talking about?
But this is what I mean.
Stafford?
But this is what I mean when I say they're desperate too. What I'm referring to is, listen, you win this game against the Rams. There's a good chance if you're going to face the Rams in the postseason, they'll be at Lambeau. That's a big deal. I don't think that can be understated. Not that you're understating it, but it's a big game for them as well. So as what makes this the difference for the Rams is they're coming in losing two games in a row. Packers just lost a game as well. They went on the road and lost to Minnesota. But I think there's also the Packers are not looking at this game any different than as desperate or as much as the Rams want this win. Yes, maybe from a divisional perspective, it's different for the Packers. But I think there's other things at stake here that you're looking a little bit further down the season, potentially postseason. You can have a Los Angeles team have to come to your house and win things rather than play at SoFi.
I'll tell you who needs to have a big game. And I'm not. He doesn't have to have 200 yards or anything like that, but he needs to have an impact on the game is OBJ. 2 weeks to get ready, to get up to speed. And I get it, it's not being in the system for an entire season, but 2 weeks of intense study to get ready for this because they need it. This went from a luxury item to, hey, let's see what happens. If it doesn't work, who cares, to Robert Woods tore his ACL, and now we've got another dynamic player on the roster. Nothing happened in San Francisco that alarmed me, but nothing happened against San Francisco. He'd just gotten there. I'm going to need to see a little OBJ love on Sunday.
It's funny, as we kind of look to some of these games and we look at what's going to happen in the weekend, you almost kind of start forgetting. We're doing our NFL pick'ems on a Tuesday. Lakers got an interesting one tonight. They're at so we were talking about this, some of the different arenas around, you know, sports. And I think what makes, let me use Staples Center as an example. Why is Staples Center it's an iconic place? Because you won a lot of championships there.
Crypto.com arena.
Crypto.com arena. You've won a lot of championships there. You've, it's, every time I hear the Madison Square Garden, they say the Mecca of basketball. I get it. I understand. You can look at New York and see whether it's Kareem or Michael Jordan. There have been unbelievable basketball players that obviously have come from New York. But every time I hear people say, like, this is the greatest, doesn't the team that plays there have to be good too? Like, don't they have to be competitive? Don't they have to be competing for championships? Don't they have to be in the mix every single year? Does that not come into play in this, Trav?
All right, that's next. We'll answer that question. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN. You have a burner account, Slee. That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's my official account now.
Yeah, somebody's got some time on their hands, I guess. Nothing better to do and make a Sliwa burner to the Sliwa Cosa Nostra. I like it.
It's time well spent.
Follow.
It's time well spent.
You should just get a big desk and sit there and just, you know, just relax and have people come to you and make requests on the day of your daughter's wedding. Just, you know, kind of put the whole thing out there.
Just have the little kitten in my hands.
Petting the kitten. Never understood that. I've never understood, like, the specific...
Oh, it's a baller move. Specific, what do you mean you didn't understand
it? No.
The hell is wrong with you?
I can't deny you a request on the day of my daughter's wedding, huh? How often is she getting married? Like, that seems like a pretty narrow opportunity for me to ask you for something. Like, I'm going to wait for one of your daughters. Unless I have, like, 10 daughters, I'm not getting a lot of stuff from you.
I'm going to start doing
you
that.
You need to ask Funches about this.
I'm going to start doing it in the main studio, just have random people that are walking in during breaks. And I'm like, listen, we'll get your car taken care of. We'll figure it out.
Do you have a cold? What's that voice you're doing?
You know, it's a good question. I figured you're supposed to sound like you lost your voice or something.
Something. I don't know what that was, but I hope you get better soon. I hope that clears up.
Everything's fine.
Get a Z-Pack and knock that thing out.
Everything's fine.
Emily had another drinking binge last night where she started mixing various cocktails. You look fresh and ready to go.
Well, you call it a drinking binge. It was a couple drinks, but they all were very variant. So I started off, there's a a cider here in Virginia I love called Bold Rock. And so I started off with that. So like I can't only get it in Virginia.
Okay.
And then I had two of those. And then I had this like lazy lemonade thing. Okay. And then I came home. Okay. I had a glass of red wine.
Sure. No, mix everything together. Get in there.
Jägermeister or Goldschlager hasn't gotten broken out yet?
And then I had a seltzer. So that was, I have probably every alcohol besides maybe like whiskey.
I don't know why you pushed back when I said it was a binge. You had five drinks in one night. I don't know what your definition we're getting in the ball. And four of them were different things. And you feel okay?
No, yeah, I'm totally feel fine. I'm going to go to an Orange Theory class after this with my sister. It's going to be great.
How would your body respond if you had four different types of alcohol in one night? Because mine would respond very, very poorly.
I'd be ready for Monday.
Yeah, well, you got to make your decision. Especially, okay, here's a little tip. This is a tip for the holidays. You need to make sure that you pick your lane early and kind of stick with it, okay? That you can't go, hey, it's early in the day, I'm going to do a little champagne and have a mimosa, and we're going to have just kind of get the day started, and then, the football's on, I'm going to pound a few beers, and then, dinner's starting. Give me that red wine. I'll have some of that red wine, and now that dinner's over, I'm going to go to scotch, and I'm just going to kind of wine that. No. You need to pick your
lane. That sounds wonderful.
Early. Yeah, maybe I just laid out your entire Thursday, Emily. We'll see. But you got it. You could pick one thing, maybe a second thing. Like maybe you could go from a beer to a wine or a wine to a cocktail, but you can't really go through the smorgasbord of alcohols on Thanksgiving.
You got to go before noon kicks off, just a nice couple Jack and Cokes, right? Just to kind of get the day going, get everything kind of started there. Then go hard with double tequila shots. Then go right after that, mix in some beer, have a couple IPAs, and then immediately following that, that's literally, Emily, I think I'm describing your night last night.
It sounds great. It sounds like a really fun night, and it was great.
Emily goes into the bar and says, give me one off the top shelf, two off the middle shelf, something out of the refrigerator, and a glass of wine.
And put it all in one mug.
But everybody can,
on the rocks.
My part about the 17 awards, the Mandy's, everyone can come drink my smorgasbord of alcohol with me.
We're going to need a stretcher or an ambulance or something if people gets into that. All right, ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. All right, so take me through your The Garden is Overrated, Slee, because Madison Square Garden is generally considered the mecca of sports, not just for the NBA, but in this country, if you're going to be a guy, you need to do it in MSG in front of New Yorkers.
Your squad's got to be good. That's all I'm saying is just win. You know, every time it's what can Kobe do at the Madison Square Garden? What can Jordan do at the Madison Square Garden? What could LeBron do at the Madison Square Garden? It doesn't mean it's not an iconic venue, but damn, if the Knicks can mix in some of their own players, if the Knicks can also mix in some wins for themselves, if they could be a team that's competing for an NBA championship, I think that's what also adds to the allure of making a place iconic. What you wanted, and this was back in the days when it was Jordan and the Bulls going up against Patrick Ewing and the Knicks, that's what made it special. When Reggie Miller is bowing in front of Spike Lee, that's what made it special. It's that these games, they were competitive. You had a squad that really had a chance of winning an NBA championship. The problem I have is, you know, every time we talk about the Madison Square Garden, I know it's an unbelievable venue, but it hurts them when their squad isn't good. When you're only coming because you want to watch the opposing team play, you want to watch the other star play, you want to see what he does in your venue. Steph Curry is going to drop 50 points. It'd be nice if you had this real, you know, we made fun of the Knicks last season because they won a game against the Atlanta Hawks in the playoffs.
They won.
And they were going crazy. It's like, damn, act like you've been there before. But the problem is they haven't been there in so long. I get why they were so excited.
But that's the point isn't that you beat the Knicks. The point's that you did it in New York City. I agree with you that if the Knicks were really good, it would be more impactful. But it's not we went in and beat the team. That's part of the appeal of why being in Staples Center is so good. It's because it's not just you did it in L.A., but you did it against a good team more often than not. The Knicks have been a bad team for most of this time, but it's not I did it against the Knicks. It's I did it in New York City. I did it in front of the world's media. I did it where the place where everybody is. It's not that I beat I don't know, pick a Nick, John Starks or Patrick Ewing. It's that I did it in front of everyone that matters.
But that part is the part I don't understand. What's the accomplishment if the squad's not good? That's
because
my point.
The world
my point
is watching. And you're in a more 21st century version of this where we get to see every game, every week, in every place. But before, the reason that this place has the reputation, it predates ESPN. It predates, you know, regional sports networks. It predates all of these things where we couldn't see everything. The only time you got to see something is if it happened in New York City or if it happened in Los Angeles, where all the television production was, where all the people were. That USC and Notre Dame, those are the games that you would see every week. And it just developed this reputation. If you're going to do something important, you got to do it in the Garden. And until you do it in the Garden, you're just kind of a guy. But once you've done it there, now you're kind of a made man, because Emily, give me the numbers again, but the three people that have the highest scoring average in MSG, look at those names. It's
okay,
Jordan, Kobe, and LeBron.
Yeah,
they're turning it up a notch, not because it's the Knicks, but because it's New York.
Yeah, they're not the men because they had big-time performances in New York. They're the men because they're winners, because they won. And that's my point, is I go back to the New York Knicks. The Knicks have not been relevant for
you
so long. They haven't been good.
Going into New York City and dropping 50 than going into Indiana and dropping 50.
It is a much bigger and better story, no question about it. My point is the Knicks aren't good. The squad on the other side that you're going up against is not that impressive. You said this before. You use any team that you want. The Rams, you were just making an example of. You were talking about how many big-time wins do they have. If they lose against the Packers, the only win that they have against a good team was back in September against Tampa. Mm-hmm. The point I'm making is that it's an iconic venue. I think what loses some of the allure, they're never good. They're never a good squad. They're not.
They won a playoff game last year, one.
And I know
the Hawks.
And I know players look at Madison Square Garden. I get it. They want to be great inside of that venue. I'm just saying it's much more powerful and it's much stronger when you're actually playing up against some good competition. And by the way, they're better now than they were 3 years ago, and I think they are trending in the right direction. That part, I'm not – Lakers could very easily lose to the Knicks tonight. Lakers won't have LeBron James, Anthony Davis.
Do you have any update on AD?
No update, just the flu-like symptom. Michael and I will do pre at 3 is when coach is talking, so we'll probably get an update then. Lakers are, in their own right, kind of desperate to get a W as well. But it's an iconic place. I just wish the franchise was
make it better along the way. But it's funny, you were talking about the Knicks and how they've been bad for basically for 30 years or whatever. However long Patrick Ewing was there, it feels like close to 30 years. They're the anti-Dodgers. That they have everything at their disposal too, except for the owner is a roadblock. The owner is the piece that isn't missing. Well, the Dodger ownership has empowered their sports people, their front office people, to go and make all these decisions and spend their money accordingly. Jim Dolan is involved in all this stuff, and he doesn't know what the hell is going on. But you're talking about venue, you talk about history, you talk about location, you talk about eyeballs and marketing and all of these things that come along with it. You would think that it would be really easy to fix the Knicks, and they've been terrible since you
ever
retired.
Been? You ever been?
I have not.
Okay. So I will say, and I went to a road trip with the Lakers, not with the Lakers, but I went to a road trip watching the Lakers play. This was at ESPN. We were taking some clients. I went to Lakers Celtics, Lakers Knicks. They were back to back games. So I got a chance to go see the Lakers and in Boston, and then right after that, we're sitting at Madison Square Garden, and we're getting this opportunity to obviously watch the Knicks play. Hey, I don't know what to tell you. It's no question about it. You feel how iconic the place is. And then go do a little bit of research and history on what type of performance has been there, from musicians to
fights.
Big, you're right, exactly. Big boxing matches or whatever the case is. It's iconic, no question about it. That should be, that definitely has got to be one on your bucket list.
No, I need to. In fact, I just thought of something. I thought of something that I've never cashed in, and I'll tell you what it is next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN, along with The Dump. So, Al, it's funny. When you ask me if I've ever been to Madison Square Garden, I have not. And I was in the back of my head, I'm like, somebody's asked me that before, and I can't remember where it's coming from. And it was Michael. That when I was doing Lakers pregame and postgame, Michael asked me that question one time when I think he was They were going to New York at some point in the trip, and he said, I'm looking forward to going there. And he asked me, had I ever been? I said, no, I've never been. And he said, you know what? We need to change that. You've been around this for too long doing it. I want to make sure that you get it to do it. And then, you know, because of the way that our world works, the roles changed, as they often do, and I was no longer doing the Laker pre, half, and post, so I never got a chance to do it. I wonder if Michael would still be willing to sponsor my trip to New York City to go see a game at the Garden.
I will 100% ask him that in the pregame show starting at 3. I'm going to say, hey, Michael, you did tell Trav you were going to pay for it, full expenses, and he's going to get to watch 6 games at the Madison Square Garden. That's what you told him.
He was very specific. I was going to get a coach ticket and an economy hotel, which I was perfectly okay
with. Awesome.
But
awesome.
I was going to get to go see the Garden, and I was going to get to go spend a couple of days in New York City. So who doesn't want to do that? I need to cash in on that.
Yeah, I think I told you this, and you know, there's a few. I've never been to Wrigley. That's a place I'd love to go to. I think
move it down the list. I've been there a bunch of times. You can move it down the list.
You know, but that's okay. Like I get it. Just to be there, just kind of say that you were there. I think there's something to that. Did you say you've been to Fenway?
I have, and it's awesome.
Fenway's great.
It's fantastic.
We both been. Did you go to Yankee Stadium?
Old Yankee Stadium. I haven't been to the new one. Old Yankee Stadium was fantastic.
Old and new, and the old one was unbelievable. There's a few of these iconic places. MSG's got to be on your list as well.
The Arcadia High School baseball field. I've been there, and it's a place that probably all of you should go visit at one point in your lives.
The Granite Hills High School basketball gym. I've been to Kennedy Recreation Center across the street. Been there as well.
Absolutely. Let's go to the dump. So we mentioned that Gonzaga and UCLA are going to play today in 1-2 in college basketball. Dick Vitale is going to be on the call, which is great
it's
news
great.
Because
great.
He's battling cancer right now. He's between cancer treatments, so we get to hear Dickie V. And I just very quickly, I want to say this because Dick Vitale has a style that when he's calling a basketball game. We all know what that style is. It's bombastic. It's loud. It's incredibly enthusiastic. It's just it's over the top, and it's you either like it or you don't, right? I got a chance to meet Dick Vitale in a hotel lobby at the Final Four one year, and he was not on the air. He is the kindest, sweetest, most loving guy, and just wants everything in the world to be right and correct and nice. And I'm so happy that he's calling the game. It's so nice to hear him back. And he is one of the world's really nice, wonderful men, and I'm thrilled that he's on that call.
He was putting up a ton of posts, whether it's on Instagram. I think most of the ones I was reading were on Twitter. He was so positive, you know, he'd come out of his chemo or whatever treatment that he was getting. And, it's a ruin for him. That's great to hear that he's going to be on the broadcast tonight. So that's exciting.
Emily, you should try to get that high five that he stoned you from a few years ago at UVA, where you tried to give him a high five and he said, nope, not for you. All right, it was on this day in 1984, Doug Flutie's Hail Mary pass gives BC a win 47-45 over Miami. You cannot watch a Boston College football game in November and not have that play run about, I don't know, what is it, 30 or 40 times during the game?
Back in the days, too. Remember when Doug Flutie came to the Chargers?
He was good.
He was good. I watched, obviously a lot of Flutie over the years. But you're right, that's one of the most – earlier, was it late last week, the band is on the field. It's the Stanford game, and we kept talking about iconic calls. There's another one there. You know, every time you see that highlight, you know exactly you obviously know the context behind the play.
All right, today is National Espresso Day. Can I just be that guy for half a second?
Sure.
Guys, there's no X in the word espresso. It's not espresso. It's espresso. It's all S's. Can we just, for at least for today on National Espresso Day, not call it an espresso because it's not an espresso. It's an espresso. Can we? Just
are you?
Please,
by the way,
do that right.
Are you a fan of espressos?
I am. Yes, I like a nice espresso as much.
Would
as
you rather have a cup of coffee or an espresso?
Stop! It's nails on a chalkboard. No, espresso is fantastic. If you get you get a nice little double espresso at SoFi Stadium from the espresso machine.
Strong as hell.
It's a pretty.
They're
good
so
way
strong.
To watch a football game. It's fantastic.
By the time I'm done with my espresso, I am freaking sprinting around SoFi.
Iman Shumpert is the first NBA athlete to win Dancing with the Stars. Iman can move, Slee. That guy's got
guy was
some
killing
moves.
It.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was killing it. It's funny, you know, certain guys How do we have any idea that he's as good of a dancer as he is, right? Just kind of out of nowhere on Twitter. I think it might have been something LeBron posted or he reposted or something along those lines. One of his, you know, one of the performances that they had. I'm like, what? That's Amon Shumpert. Ends up winning the whole thing.
He was great.
I called it. I called it before Dancing with the Stars started.
I don't know if you're going to hate this or love this, but mm-hmm. Michael Strahan's going to outer space with Blue Orbit. Is Blue Orbit Bezos's space travel outfit, or is it one of the other ones?
I don't know. I think if it's not Elon, then it's all fake. None of it exists. Blue Origin is...
Is that Elon Musk's?
No, it's definitely not. It's Bezos. Yeah, so it's basically fake space.
So
Michael he's
Strahan,
pretending to go up to space. Yep.
So he's not Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. He's more Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Strahan probably also is wearing a fake diamond because the whole thing is a fugazi. So is the mission with Bezos.
All right, so how do people find the pod, Slee, if they were unfortunate enough not to hear all 3 hours of us live?
ESPN app or on iTunes, search Travis and Slee with Show. I'm off tomorrow. Pre-game show starts at 3. If we don't talk to you guys, have a great Thanksgiving. Emily, Travis, and Taylor, all you guys have a great Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Al. Enjoy it. And DeMarco will be here tomorrow, and you know that DeMarco and I like to talk about food, so we got you covered, got you ready for Thanksgiving as well. Mason in Ireland is coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.